This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're moving into hour number 5 of the 11th annual Peace-a-thon, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line or the Twitch or the YouTube, the website for the charity is 1053thefan.com/peace-a-thon if you want to bid, donate, or anything along those lines. Right now, we bring in RJ Choppy, but perhaps more importantly, former Texas Ranger, four-time All-Star World Series champion. It is Cole Hamels. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Thanks for jumping on for our charity show, and hopefully your gravitas will help us raise even more money.
Always. I mean, that's always a big, especially this time of year. It's something that's always special to everybody. I think anytime you can think of others and really just understand the significance behind how fortunate we are and to be able to give something back, I just think shows a lot about you.
Now, we have RJ Choppy in studio with us, and he was complaining about a group text or something. What's your beef, RJ?
Hey, Cole. I just wanted to know, because you and I are on the same group text with Derek and the golf gang.
Yeah.
And, every time I've shown up to the golf event to play, you're never there. So why are you ducking me?
Oh, man, because I got some better invites.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
No, he's
Damn.
Not. He's,
say less.
I guess that's him and his rich friends going to play overseas. Man. That's
overseas,
what it is.
This is a four-month
really
vacation.
I have not won in like a year. And I'm like, why do I keep coming back? I keep losing. I'm not that bad at golf, but something's wrong here. So I think I disappear so I can improve my game so when I come back, I can actually win.
It's fair.
So when is that taking place?
Are you still gone?
Are you back yet?
Where are you?
No, I'm actually in Nashville. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. I'm not playing anyway. I'm still crippled, so we're good.
Oh, my gosh.
His arm doesn't work right now.
Yeah.
Cole, I wanted to ask you a baseball question here. Obviously, you're one of the best pitchers in the game for a while, and there's three guys that are for sure Hall of Famers that have been the best in the game for a while, and Kershaw, Verlander, and Scherzer. Can you give me kind of thoughts? Obviously, me winning a whole 10 games in my career, I didn't enter this equation. When you've been the best or one of the best for a while, and now you're kind of you're dealing with injury, you're trying to still pitch in the major leagues. At times you're having success, but you're not as dominant as you were, like Verlander, Scherzer, and Kershaw have been maybe the last year or so. What's the thought process as you're not a Cy Young candidate anymore, but you still believe and feel like, hey, I can still pitch in the major leagues and help?
I I think, you know, that really then you have to start looking at just trying to eat innings. Because I think there's an importance behind that. And even though you're not the type of guy that's going to go 7, 8, 9 innings and strike out 10 to 15 guys and, you know, give up a 1 or 2 runs a game, if you can maintain a level of, hey, you know what, I can still pitch. I can get through the lineup 3, possibly 4 times. I don't have to strike out everybody. I need to keep the team kind of in. And if I eat innings, then I'm a pretty big asset on a team. And I think that's what it really comes down to. And especially guys at that stage of their career, it really, guys just want to win. And I think if you can get on teams that want to win, they need a 4th or 5th starter, you just want to go to the playoffs. I think that's because, you know, you don't need to be recognized anymore for being the Cy Young candidate, like you said. But when you're on a winning team, there's the joy right there, and you can be a part of something. And I think it's a matter of trying to get as many rings as you possibly can, because it's hard enough to get one, but the more opportunities, the more likelihood.
We saw Nathan Eovaldi. He really did a wonderful job carrying the Rangers to the World Series, winning the World Series. When you come to Texas and you're considered an ace, is it more pressure because Texas has never had great pitching?
I think there's shots always going to be a matter of.
He was looking at me. Sorry, Derek.
He was looking dead red at my face.
You pitched
saying
an amazing
that to me.
Game of the World Series,
so I didn't
Derek.
Know what was going on.
Could have been better.
I just think you want to be on a team that can bring a championship to a city that's never won it, because that's something incredibly special, and you're going to be remembered forever. So that right there is. If you look at players and you look at teams that have never won, if you get into a situation, there's a strong possibility if you can make choices to go to teams that have never won or haven't won in a long, long time, that right there is special in itself. And I think then that's just the joy of playing the game.
Are there any other questions that include a Derek Holland insult that you think that we should ask you?
Oh, no. I think, you know, with Derek, I mean, it's pure joy. I think more times than not, he's the one that was insulting me in the weight room because I couldn't lift as much as he could. So, you know, Derek kind of motivated me more than anything. You know, if I could get him on the field, I knew that he was going to humble me real fast in the weight room.
Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But if we were to bring on another former Ranger at some point today, that just doesn't seem to get along with Derek Holland. Why do you think that would, if there was a reason that somebody didn't get along with Derek, why do you think that would be?
They couldn't take the jokes.
Yeah, but that's not, I was going to say, we don't really joke. Know, he's referring to Tolleson.
Yeah, Sean Tolleson thinks Derek Holland's a weirdo. Yeah, well,
it's awkward.
Tolleson's quiet. No, Tolleson's just a really quiet, you know, proper guy. I think that's what happens.
Proper.
You know, locker rooms, and we're with each other for so long, and, you know, there it is the brotherhood that everybody kind of talks about, but there's just times where you joke and you just try to push each other's buttons and you want to see where you can kind of gauge everybody. And, you know, some people just don't have that that level, and they just don't want to go there, and it's okay. I think that's what, you know, that's why it takes a lot of guys to be able to play the game of baseball, and there's a lot of different personalities.
Well, Cole, since we're getting ready for Thanksgiving, and I went over some weird Thanksgiving meals yesterday, or fixins, as they like to say on Eastbound and Down, what's your favorite fixin when it comes to Thanksgiving?
I've always been big mashed potatoes and gravy and stuffing, and I think I put gravy on everything.
Yeah, so, that's a good one.
I definitely like the dark part of the turkey and just kind of how that tastes, but I think I put gravy on everything.
So you like the dark meat is what you're saying?
Exactly, Derek.
Good Lord. It is 10 in the morning,
it's
y'all.
It's just a question. I wanted the B-word already.
I didn't go there, but I knew Derek was going to capitalize on that.
I was just checking. That's all it was.
All right, now a real baseball question,
I'm
Cole.
Starting to get why Tolleson doesn't like him. I get it. I get it a little
time
bit.
Time through the order.
Well, I'm going to ask him about Blake Snell. He signed yesterday for a 5-year, $182 million deal. I feel like, I know you didn't have, I don't think you had Boris as your agent, but I feel like last year Boris might have misplayed the pitcher's market. Do you feel like Do you feel like teams are going to offer more than 5 years to starting pitchers the way that starting pitchers get hurt nowadays? Or is 5 years maybe the max that a team would go?
And I think that was always a big deal, even in the early 2000s and the teens, where teams really did not ever want to go over 5 years. They always tried to offer the four with an extra. No team wanted to go over, and I think then you had, you know, CC Sabathia and a few guys that really were able to take that market a little bit. And then, you know, 10 years of learning, teams then kind of go back. But, hey, I think I don't think Boris misjudged it. I think he did it right because he was able to get an opt-out. So he hedged the bet. And I think if that's what it takes, then you wait for the best offer. But, you know, there has to be accountability. And I think when you have that, if there's accountability on teams and then there's accountability on players and performance, you know, you have to take your chances. And if you do it right, you're going to make what you feel like you deserve. And teams are going to then protect themselves because they're not going to overextend. And, you know, everything's hedging. And, you know, that's what it is. And then you just have to timing has to be right with all your players to win.
Do you, Cole, think that we'll get back into, instead of the analytics side of it, starting to see more of the guys getting to go the distance? Like, guys, like now that Snell got this big contract, does he get to go the distance, or do we still stick to the analytics? You don't think so?
No.
Well, why don't we ask Cole?
I just think it's going to be a coin flip. I think you're going to have – I think they're going to be able to do it more so once a month, once every 4 to 5 starts. I think they're going to give pitchers that opportunity. And then if they do get the opportunity where the pitch count gets high, they do, you know, get a complete game, they're then going to want to back it down a game or two after, you know, for their next couple starts. But I think it's just going to be, you know, like anything. It's, you know, you ride it all the way up and then we're like, hey, we got to pull you back a little bit so that we can continually do something, because everything is risk injury management now. And especially if you're giving a player that much money, you don't want him to break, because that's a big dent in your payroll and on your team if a guy like that gets injured for an extended period of time.
So I know Derek has another question, but I want to include both of y'all on this. I can see kind of a look of disgust in Derek's face in terms of the ramping down of pitchers and everything. How do y'all feel? And is that the consensus among starting pitchers? Like, do all starting pitchers not like the way they're handled now? Or are they like, no, I'm perfectly fine with throwing 5 innings and calling it a day?
Man, I just think, and Derek can answer too, I think it's almost like they've been groomed in college to the minor leagues to not risk going deep into ball games and not risk going over 100 and something pitches. And I think that's just tough, because Derek and I, we were kind of grown up and taught that you, whatever you start, you finish. And that's the intention, is you're going to max out and pitch 33 to 34 starts in a season. And then you're going to try to get your 4 to 5 starts in the playoffs. And you're going to finish what you started.
Yeah, I mean, he's right. It's
just the look in your face that you look disgusted.
Because it is. It's frustrating. Like, as I'm coaching now, helping out with the school by my house, I want my guys to be able to go the distance. We're training that way. It's just like when Nolan was my boss here, he was saying, I want you guys to start the game and I want you to finish it. You want to have that starter closer mentality. Mm-hmm. But it's also looking at it too, is you get all the old timers to come out, and they're obviously telling us how soft we are because we don't even go the distance anymore. You're not going to have a 300 inning guy, or I don't even know how else you want to put
no
any
Will
more
Lights
complete
out there.
Games. Yeah, no Will Lights. But I mean, that's something I feel we're getting away from. It's ridiculous. Like, guys aren't going to be able to records are not going to get broken now when it comes to the pitching side of it.
Who's going to win 300 games, right? Too? That's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's all done because we go 5 innings and all of a sudden the nerds come in. Well, the numbers say that he's got to come out because they're hitting 500 on the third time through.
Well, like, let me ask you, like, what do you say let's just say this happens, because I know this happens now, but what do you say to the front office when you have a pitch that's working, but it doesn't meet the spin metrics, and they want you to bury the pitch?
I don't know. It's the hitter's going to give you the best feedback. When you face a hitter, and Cole can say it too, like, they're going to tell me how good my stuff is that day. If they're doo-dooing on me all day, well, then, okay, obviously my stuff wasn't working. But if they're swing and miss all the time and I'm hitting my spots, then that's it. Like, I'm doing my job. That pitch works. Like, we got to worry about heart and what that dude's doing that day on the mound rather than what the numbers say from 5 months ago.
Yeah, I think, and like Derek said, guys don't know how to pitch with less and get quick outs. I understand strikeouts and your spin rate and, you know, those sort of analytical numbers look really awesome, but you can still get hitters out with not your best stuff. It's just called being smart. And that's how you extend the life on a game and they extend your arm health, is not having to max out 24/7. And in the game, you can still get guys out with 80%, 90% of your best stuff. But it's the numbers show up and the guys come down like, he must be injured. It's like, no, he's just being smart. He's trying to get himself an extra couple batters. He's trying to get himself an extra couple innings. He doesn't need to strike out the next six guys. He can strike out one of them and get a couple easy ground balls or a couple fly balls, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, as Cole's even saying too, you make 30 starts, 10 of them you have your best stuff, 10 of them you have mediocre stuff, and then 10 of them you don't really have anything. You have to learn how to pitch. And that's why, to me, it's like we get guys now, as Cole was even saying, all spin numbers say he's good, and then he gets up there and he can't throw a strike, but his spin numbers are great. Nobody cares. If you can't throw a strike, who cares what your spin numbers are?
Now, how come it's so – I'm sorry to jump in there.
It's non-competitive pitch.
How come it has become so prevalent then? If so many people think this, how come it has really taken over in baseball?
I mean, it's being taught from, you know, all of the social media places and everything that you see about – how to get a pitch like that has these sort of numbers, that's now been the focus, opposed to just watching guys just swing and miss or getting soft contact. That's really doesn't look good on your social media posts or on your highlights.
Cole, my best man in my wedding, his son's a senior down in Houston, Texas. He is throwing 91, can't get a Division I scholarship. What? Good pitcher, touching 91.
Really?
And I was talking to him and he's like,
he can't get D1?
Nope. He's like, you got the coaches have told him you got to touch 94 from the right side.
Ooh,
if we're gonna offer a senior in high school a Division I scholarship, no matter how good you are at pitching, you have to touch 94 as a right-handed guy.
Ooh, that's so dumb.
I think the analytics guys have they're smart people, and they've convinced the owners with like a good PowerPoint presentation. This is how you should run your organization.
Nerds.
I mean, but they're smart people. Like they know what they're doing, you know, and that's easy to convince the owners. Once you get to the owners, you got everything.
Hey, Cole, you had in your career, you had two home runs. What if you had your choice? If you had your choice, a walk off home run in the ninth or a punch out in the ninth, which one are you picking?
Oh, it's so tough because when you're in your backyard and you're a kid, everybody wants to hit the walk off in front of everybody, just because I feel like that has way more weight to talk crap when you're going back to school or anything. You know, that's just like in the neighborhood, hitting a walk off home run opposed to a punch out had more clout than anything. So I think hitting a homer, just because also I wasn't very good at, you know, decent hitting, but not I wasn't in the big leagues because of hitting. So I think if I had the opportunity, I'd love it.
Derek agrees. Derek agrees.
So, Cole, I've told this story, and in 07, when you're on Philadelphia and you make kind of the miracle run and the Mets collapse and you guys make the playoffs, wow. I had to pitch the last game of the year. Jamie Moyer dominated us, and I come in relief, and I give up a home run to Ryan Howard in the fifth inning. And I tell people that place was louder than when I gave up Barry Bonds' record-breaking home run in San Francisco. Can you kind of – since you were there for a while and you pitched in the World Series there, and can you talk about that Philadelphia crowd? Is when things are going well, is there a place that you ever played in that it was louder than?
None. It's insanity. Philly just absolutely loves sports, and they know how to be loud. It's just that's in their DNA from the day they're born, is all about sports and intimidating the other team and celebrating your team when they win. They obviously know how to give it to you when you're not performing, even if you're, you know, on the home team. But that's what's so special, is they live and breathe sports, and they live and breathe that intensity, and they bring it to the ballpark.
I didn't know this question would come up today, but how's your job at the loading dock going? Because I keep hearing.
Right.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. But seriously,
lift in for the day.
Item number 200 we have for Peace-a-thon, and I don't know if you knew this.
He didn't.
But you gave a very important, cherished gift to Derek Holland in a game-issued postseason jersey from 2015 that you autographed. So my twofold question is, why should people bid on this and buy it? And does it hurt your feelings that Derek so recklessly gave away a gift you gave him?
No, I love that. I just think that, you know, Derek and I have such a special relationship that I don't think a jersey will hold, you know, anything for our friendship. And so I love it. You know, there's a lot of people out there that I just think you want to have, you know, something that has some pretty good special game memorabilia, and that's definitely one of them. 2015 was a really fun year for me, and I think for the Rangers and what we were able to accomplish down the bonding and everything, you know, that's what Derek and I get to take from it is the clubhouse memories. So if fans, you know, want something that's a piece of, you know, something that was so special and, you know, the Rangers were out of it and we came away and, you know, took over from Houston and how we won in on the last game. So, it's just, I think somebody will definitely appreciate that in their house and, you know, to bid on something and knowing that you're doing it for charity, it makes it even that much more special.
That is item number 200. Thank you very much.
It's the home jersey, not the road jersey in Toronto. Cole, you pitched.
Oh my God!
Good God!
You give that jersey to Elvis. He'll drop it three times.
Cole pitched great in Toronto.
Did everything I could. I mean, gosh, I wanted to go the distance in that game. I think I had. I have to give it to, like we were just talking about. Banny looked at me. I think I had 109 pitches, and I'm like, no, I'm finish this game. It's 140 pitches. I got this. Didn't happen. I was gonna finish that game.
Amazing stuff. Thank
Cole,
you for
we love you, dude.
Yeah,
we
thank you for putting up with our nonsense and shenanigans as well.
You're the best ever. Yeah,
have
Chops waiting for you.
Guys.
Hey, and if we get Sean Tolleson on later in the show, we'll text you a time so you can listen to how weird it's going to be.
It's going to be magical.
Thank you very much, good sir.
He's good. I love him. All right, I'll talk to you again later.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cole Hamels right here on 105.3 The Fan. And like I said, It's a great description right there. It's a game-issued postseason Cole Hamels autographed jersey.
I do realize this. The reason it's game-issued, he might have wore it on the bench, but he didn't pitch in that series at home. He pitched both games in Toronto. So he pitched the game one or two. I'm sorry, I forget which one. And then obviously game five, which...
But this was an actual Rangers postseason jersey made for Cole Hamels that he autographed.
Yeah. Awesome.
Item number 200. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will continue Peace-a-thon with RJ Choppy. Which Giants players, if any, scare you? And where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? Unless RJ wants to talk about something totally different. Next, right here on The Fan.
Neighbors put out wide to the left, top of your screen. Jones on third down. Looking end zone. Throws. It's Neighbors. Touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan as we enter hour number five of Peace-a-thon. Thank you once again to Michael. We've had some folks up at the studio today hanging out who've donated some stuff or donated a bunch of money or brought food. So there are options. If you have a donation receipt that's pretty darn impressive, well, we can certainly invite you up here. All right, we're going to get to in just a minute if there are any Giants players that scare you and where the Cowboys hold an advantage with Sir RJ Choppy, who did not know that the Stars were actually playing in Chicago this evening.
But neither did the Stars for that matter.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point.
The funny is he's like, I'm going to the Stars game.
So, yeah.
But he doesn't have a ticket. He's just like, I'm going to get a ticket.
Yeah, so I have a guy with the Stars that works at ticketing. He's a buddy of mine. And I said, hey, I shot him a note like 2 weeks ago. I said, hey, I want to go to the Stars game the day before Thanksgiving. Because every year, they play at home.
Yes.
On the day before Thanksgiving.
You know the Mavs are playing there tonight? That's why they're not.
Oh, losers. And I was like, all right, bet. Yeah, let's go. And, you know, because we go every year. And like 2 days ago, so I was like, all right, I'm going to do 5 o'clock with the Peace-a-thon. And then I'll just go to we'll go to the game. We'll go to dinner and then go to the game. He sends me a text. He goes, hey, I'm just realizing this. We don't play at home on Wednesday. He didn't even know.
Yeah.
He had no idea.
Even the Stars people, Kevin.
Even the Stars people had no idea. And the schedule's been out for quite a while, I'm told. So this was a bummer.
Before we dive any further into the Giants, Kevin, I completely missed this one for Are You Better?
Oh, no.
Turning 53 today, Mike's best friend, Ivan Pudge Rodriguez.
Whoa!
Are you better than Pudge Rodriguez?
Hell no, I'm not better than Pudge Rodriguez. He is the greatest Ranger in the history of the franchise, and I think there should be little to no debate about that.
Yeah, okay, that's an interesting one. So are you saying this from like his what he did with what they did with the team?
Yeah, what he did on the field. Because I realized from like a
talent
notoriety standpoint, Nolan Ryan's going to be up there from a talent standpoint. You could argue Josh Hamilton, but I would put Pudge in 1-2. Now that's probably also reflective of like when I got super into sports and super
really
into the Rangers.
Really throwing it in Michael Young's face, huh?
I think I'm not kidding. I love Michael Young. I think at best he's third on the list. Okay. And even I'm not sure about that. Pudge is way better than me, but also we do have a multi-autographed Pudge and Johnny Bench art piece available in this Peace-a-thon auction, 1053thefan.com/peace-a-thon.
Nice.
Now, it's tough because this is probably the worst team in football, if not one of the three worst teams in football. That is the New York Giants. Is there an Aziz Ojulari just went on the IR? Is there anybody on this team that concerns you? Is it Tyrone Tracy and Malik Nabers and that's about it?
Yeah, Malik Nabers is definitely the first person I think of because that's their offense. Tyrone Tracy can run the ball too. It's been interesting to watch how the Cowboys have been more effective over the last few weeks now at stopping the run. Mike Zimmer finally got that rolling a little bit. Mozzie may have had his best game last week against Washington. No, you're absolutely right about that. As they've gotten healthier, you're starting to see that more. And when they move Micah into the three technique, he's actually good at that. When they put him out on the edge and say stop the run, people can run right over him because he's standing up.
Yeah.
He gets down in that 3-point, 4-point stance. He's actually good at stopping the run there. So I think they've gotten better at that. But Malik Nabers, because he is the number one target, Broadus said it this morning, I wouldn't be surprised if they go 25 targets at that guy. That's the first one to think of.
I just think quarterback situation is what scares me. We don't know what we're getting necessarily yet with good old Danny DeVito, even though it's not him, but
it's Tommy.
How much more would that game generate buzz if for some reason Danny DeVito was actually going to be the starting quarterback?
That would be amazing.
AKA Bryce Young.
Wow.
We should have known.
Same Maybe high. Danny should do the coin toss.
That would be cool.
With all the juice.
What did you just say?
With all the juice?
Holy crap. Wow. I thought we were
I was going down.
Hit the
Jersey
button.
Jersey Mike's.
What?
Jersey Mike's.
Gotcha. Yeah,
the sizzle is what he was talking about, Mike.
I get what you're doing.
See, Mike's way. Sizzle. It makes sense.
Yeah. Mike's way. Yeah.
Danny DeVito.
Is he a Jersey Mike?
Yeah, he does Mike's commercials.
Sounded like you said something else.
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you
were. I knew
exactly. Let's just get back to the football talk then.
Okay.
Tracy scares me.
Yes, I think that's probably where I am as well. More than 5 yards a carry. They're not afraid to give him the ball. So it does seem like a steady diet of handoffs to Tracy, throws to Malik Nabers. Yeah,
and the Cowboys can't stop the run at home for whatever reason. Maybe their defense just doesn't work on turf. I don't know what it is.
Wait, what about the time? What time is the game at?
It's a 3 o'clock game. I'm really glad that you asked that.
Sun.
No, not 3 o'clock. It is at 3:30 right here on 105.3 The Fan. The pregame starts at 12:30, and Mike Pereira from Fox Sports will be one of the guests on our official pregame show.
I'm also worried they haven't won at home. How long has it been since Green Bay, right?
The Lions game was the last time they won at home.
Okay.
They almost lost that one.
You got the Sun that you're dealing with, and you're playing a team that they have nothing to lose. It's an absolute dumpster fire over there.
What do the Cowboys have to lose?
Worse. They have Mike McCarthy's job to
It's
to win.
Worse over there than it is here.
I agree with that.
And you're coming off of a kind of an interesting win against the Commanders. And your short rest, Thursday game. I'm a little worried about this game. I'm a little nervous, I would say, as a fan of the Cowboys.
Oh, why did you say that sarcastic?
Well, he's a Browns fan first.
I just cheer for him here and there and just love watching.
Hey, speaking of dumpster fires.
Yep, that's us, the Browns.
How is that guaranteed contract for Deshaun going?
That's an absolute dumpster fire. That is fantastic. I hope we end up releasing him, and we're
you're just
going to
eat the $145 million. Okay,
and then we go get Cam Ward.
Oh
no, dude! Just go get keep Jameis, man.
Have both.
Yeah,
have him mentor. Have the Reverend.
You think Cam is the best quarterback in the class?
I like him a lot. I think that's what we need. Something like him. He's mobile too. He can. I mean, he slings it. I think that's the guy I would want to go get.
He can slang it for sure.
Because we got to, as long as Chubb can get back to Chubb form.
He's getting up there in age, man.
I know. But still, I heard that.
Okay. Dexter Lawrence was the player that I was going to mention, just as the player on the Giants I fear. He is a tremendous player, and the way he's been able to rack up sacks this year, in addition to shutting down the middle of the line, he is a terribly impressive player.
And I think Chop's right too. We can't stop the run.
I'm not here to argue that at all. No, but then again,
neither can the Giants. But we can't run the ball really well. I mean, Rico's better than people give him credit for. It's just that their running attack really is going to kind of keep this game closer than it should be.
I think you'll see I hope to see a good game from Micah. I think you're going to see him kind of really get out.
Be nice. It'd be really nice.
I mean, you need it. He needs to get it going.
Well, the secondary played well against Washington, at least in the first 3.5 quarters they played well.
I was surprised they didn't go after Deron Bland. I really was surprised that they didn't attack him more. He hasn't played all season, and I don't know if it was Dan Quinn was like, I'm just not doing it because I know what that guy's capable of. Do not throw his direction. Try to pick on Butler. Like it makes a lot of sense, but I was very surprised they didn't, and I'd be very interested to see who is covering Neighbors. Is it going to be Bland all over him? Because didn't Diggs, he was just like, finally, he was like, F it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go cover him. I'll take care of this.
For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, and Chop will be stoked to be here with Derek Holland and Mike Bassick as we do some baseball nuggets.
Oh, baby.
First, the Kikuchi.
Okay.
And now the Snell. The floodgates are open next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. As we're in the midst of the 11th annual Peace-a-thon, I want to take your attention to a couple of different items. Some of our bigger ticket items. Yes. Look, you don't want RJ to have the highest bid item.
Yes,
all right?
You do.
So we need to take him down. So item number 3 and item number 156, and the website is 1053thefan.com/peaceathon. Item number 3 is a Dallas Cowboys preseason suite with the KNC Masterpiece and the autographed helmet. So the autographed helmet is the icy white autographed by CeeDee Lamb and DeMarvion Overshown. We will go to the game with you unless you're like, I got other people that need to go. That's okay too.
How many people get in that suite?
It's a suite on the star level, includes 26 tickets.
26?
6 parking passes, catering with food, beer, wine, soda, plus you get the helmet that we procured directly from the Cowboys. That is a great deal right there. And then package number 156, the Martin House custom beer experience. So you get to have a beer tasting in phase 1 at Martin House. Then in phase 2, you will go back, choose out ingredients, taste whatever the hell you want, and make your own beer. Then in phase 3, they will actually host a public release party showcasing the beer you created, canned, and ready to distribute. So if you're looking for something you could scoreboard people on, be like, oh, thanks for inviting me over. You want to come to my beer tasting party that I created? Item number 156.
Yes, scoreboard all your friends by having them drink the beer that you created with
you should.
Fantastic brewers at Martin House Brewing. Also, right now, at My Possibilities, 3601 Maple Shade Lane in Plano, Texas, right off of George Bush and Coit. It overlooks George Bush. That is My Possibilities campus. They are Pizza ISD has shown up. This is Mike Gonzalez. He's a Tolo.
Pizza ISD.
Yes. Pizza ISD.
He has really people, a school district.
No, pizza? He has a huge bus that he makes pizzas in. And it's a food truck, but it's a big old bus.
It does kind of look like a school bus.
He is there from 11 to 1, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And they are selling pizzas, and they're donating 50% of the proceeds from the sales go to My Possibilities, but they go to Peace-a-thon. That'll be included in what we're trying to raise.
Do you think if you were a high school and your high school name was pizza, that your mascot name would have to be Pie, you'd be the Pizza Pies?
Yes. And what's crazy about this is lots of schools, ISDs, have been like, please come to our school and make these pizzas, show the kids how to make pizzas. He's actually going to go back up to My Possibilities and have a pizza class with them.
Awesome.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
From the bus too. So if you want to, if you're out and about today and you want to stop by My Possibilities and get yourself some pizza, do it right now.
And what is my item? My item's dominating still. Is that what
you're all right? So your item, by the way, they said they're going to bring pizza to us whenever they're done. You can also bid on a pizza ISD package. Yes, I will admit the item for RJ Choppy is incredible. Is you get two spots in the Cowboys Spring Golf Tournament, one for you, one for Choppy. If you want to bump Choppy out of the way and just bring a different friend, that's okay too. Oh, but it's all inclusive, so all the booze is included, food, there's going to be a concert, there's former and current Cowboys players and executives there, and you get what has been described to me as a very nice swag bag.
Okay, and baby. Choppy is currently earning the most out of all the auction items on our site right now. It's currently at $3,375, Chop.
Oh, baby!
That is a significant thing, though. Do you want to play in this tournament?
Yes! Okay. Are you kidding me? I'll probably have to take a day off of work for it.
Yeah, you actually, and it's
and Sean's going to be pumped about that.
Hey, you know, it's for charity. Yeah, exactly.
Are you going to stay for the whole thing, or do you?
Yeah, I will. Okay. I will.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I will. Special occasion.
Very special.
11:20, Derek. Just shot that down. 11:20. Yes, now it's time for baseball nuggets with Mike Bassick. Man, getting impatient. Jeez.
Well, it usually starts at 45 anyway.
That's true.
So, okay. Let's talk about baseball nuggets, and let's talk about something that's happening this year that hasn't happened in a long time in Major League Baseball. Two major starting free agent pitchers have signed before Thanksgiving.
It's crazy.
Now, I guess you could go back and say, well, it happened the year of the lockout, where the Rangers had to work quickly to get John Gray and Seager and Semien.
But that was like December 1st they signed, right?
Right, and they were just trying to work that in because they knew of a work stoppage, and they were like, if we don't do it now, we're going to have to wait till when spring training is going on to try to make these moves. But in a normal offseason like this one is, I think we saw last year, we saw Jordan Montgomery, which I'll get to in a second. We saw Blake Snell, which I'll get to in a second. We saw multiple pitchers kind of get screwed over by waiting a while to sign. And then at the end of the day, they signed two-year deals with options on them. Okay, Blake Snell opted out of his deal because last year with the Giants, he got off to a slow start. He was hurt some. 20 starts, 3.12 ERA, 5-3 record. The year before, he was the Cy Young winner. He's a two-time Cy Young winner. He's 31 years old. He's had a really nice career. He does not go deep in games. He never has gone deep into games. I think last year, in fact, this is correct, last year he threw his first ever complete game of his career.
He has a crazy
211 career. Starts, one complete game.
Like, that's wild. For a guy to win two Cy Youngs and never really go past the sixth inning – for the most part, his career is insane.
He is a high-pitch count guy. He walks quite a few guys, but he strikes out a lot of guys, too. In fact, I just saw him on MLB.com. I think they were – or, sorry, MLB Network. They were just showing that he has the most strikeouts per nine innings in a stretch. I don't know if it's from 2018 to 24, whatever it is, but he is the leader in strikeouts per nine if you – just get it down to where he is at, like the last maybe 3 to 5 years.
He pitches like he's almost like, I don't want to say like he's scared of contact, but like if you're that wild, like you obviously don't want to throw anything remotely close to the zone, but he gets results.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that you have to worry about here is the 5-year, $182 million contract. One, the Dodgers, is how much money do they have left? Like, are they going to? This is amazing if you look at their team.
I'm trying to look into that, by the way, because there's rumblings that part of this contract is deferred as well.
I saw where he got a big signing bonus, which isn't a big deal in baseball. We talk about that in football. And I'm just wondering, have the Dodgers figured out a way how to manipulate the luxury tax other teams haven't figured out yet?
They might have. I'm trying to find a breakdown of that contract, and yet here we are. So
the luxury tax should take into account the average annual value, not the deferred payment.
Right, because Shohei made $2 million last year, and they did charge him more than that on their, like, let's say, cap number, but still it was a very low number.
It should be the full number.
Where it wasn't $70 million, and it looks like they're trying to do something in this Blake Snell deal where $182 million, but $52 million is just a signing bonus. And I'm like, how? They're doing something to manipulate the luxury tax, and maybe they figured out a loophole with how much money they have.
It's going to be closed, I'm sure.
Now, wow, real quick. His luxury tax is $32.5 a year.
Okay.
That's what his luxury tax payments are going to be. Now, that's what's 32 times 5?
160.
So that's $22 million that they're deferring off the luxury tax.
Yeah. I mean, it's they're
that's
they're,
a good deal if you can get
they're,
it.
They're doing things very smart to defend their title, and they are going to be very tough to beat. We'll see what else they do. They're not saying they're done. They're saying that they're still going to be competitive with certain guys. Now, here's the other news I wanted to get to. I don't think this is a surprise at all, but it is now official. With Jordan Montgomery opting into his contract, the Diamondbacks have put out, we're trying to move him, and we are willing to pay.
Did they say how much?
They did not say how much, but they are willing to.
Because I'm interested.
It's $22.5 is what they owe him next year. So he had a bad year. So he was a Boris guy. He's actually fired Boris. And Boris is great at his job. You know, we just had on Cole Hamels. You can dislike him, and I get it from a fan standpoint, but he does his job pretty darn well.
Yeah.
There are times where he makes mistakes. He made a mistake a long time ago with Kenny Rogers. Looks like he made a mistake last year in the marketplace, but it looks like he's corrected that, and he's like, no, I'm going to be aggressive here. If I get a great offer like from the Dodgers, I'm not going to play it against everybody for 2 months, and then the Dodgers go out and sign, just throwing out a name here, Nathan Eovaldi or Max Fried, and then they're like, oh, crap, where's my deal? And I don't know if he has those guys as clients, but if he didn't, then he'd be like, oh, crap, and he did lose Montgomery, right? He still gets that money because he signed that contract. So Boris still gets the, let's say, 5% from that contract. Like this year, he still gets the 5% of the $22.5 million because he was his agent when signing that deal. But the Diamondbacks are now officially like, we're not keeping him. We want to move him. And it's $22.5 million. And like I said, I think the Rangers should really look into this and say, look, we will take $7.5 million. We will pay $7.5 million for him. You guys have to eat 15. You guys said it was the biggest mistake you've made in your lives. We'll take that mistake off your hands, and you guys now only have to pay $15 million this year instead of $22.5 million. I think that would be a great signing from the Rangers, because if you look at him, you could say, hey, maybe he turns into our number three. Our number two. If we get Eovaldi back and you get Montgomery,
I would be pretty happy about that.
And you could use Montgomery in the pen at times. He has done that. You're hoping that he pitches so well, you wouldn't want to do that.
How do I put this in a very non-offensive man? Has his belly button gotten smaller?
He's a big dude. I saw him in Arizona this year. He's a big dude. Obviously, that was an issue in free agency with teams that they were worried about his body structure or his body type at about 30 years old. and just wondering if we sign him to like a 5 or 6 year deal, which Boris wanted, what is he going to look like? If we're already worried about him now, what is he going to look like in year 3, 4, 5 of this deal? I'm hoping this, when you, Derek, when you struggle that much, I don't think you ever struggled that much in the major leagues with what Jordan went through last year. I think he had an ERA over 6.
Well, let's look it up.
I've definitely done that.
Okay.
Let's look it up here.
There's a lot of motivation in the offseason. I think for Jordan Montgomery, there's a lot of motivation this offseason to get back to the guy he was with the world champion Texas Rangers.
I would say the big thing, though, with that, what you were just saying, as a reliever, it stinks because you have one bad outing, your ERA shoots up. So that's why I feel like the ERA for relievers, for the most part, is false advertising. Because guys can go out there and be shoving for a while, and they get it down just a little bit, and all it takes is one little hiccup, and then you're back up there. To me, I think, I'm with you, I would love to see him back here again. I think get back with Maddox. Maddox will get him right where he needs to be again, be the Montgomery that we had. I also, and I'm just throwing this in there because I like this guy, Sean Manaea would be a good pickup as well out there.
I do think in your case here, I do think an amount of time.
I think
here,
the Mets go back to.
I do think Manaea, Montgomery, Heaney. The Rangers need to get one of them, but I think they can only afford one of them.
I'd like to see him get Bieber too. Who's
Bieber
coming back
is
from
a right-hander.
I know. I'm just throwing that another name out.
Yeah,
there.
But if you have Cody Bradford, your guy, right?
Yep.
He's going to have a great year last year.
I think he'll have a better.
You add
year.
One more lefty to that rotation, and then you get a guy like Eovaldi or Bieber. I would rather have Eovaldi.
Agreed.
But I understand where you're going there. But the Rangers are working with a budget because they. It gets confusing. They don't want to pay the luxury tax this year because it becomes a multi-year offense and it goes up to a 50% tax. I'd love to be the Dodgers. I'd love to be the Yankees. Unfortunately, we're not in that situation. And so this year, they're going to be way more strict on the budget. Here's the hope, though, Ranger fans. They're still very competitive this year with a limited budget. And then after being under the luxury tax for a year, I would hope that they would go back over it because now they wouldn't be a multi-year offender of it. It gets confusing, but... This year, it looks like the Rangers are going to have to stay under a certain number.
I mean, we got to spend money. I'm sorry. Like, you're seeing what the Dodgers are doing. You got to, if we're trying to compete and contend with these guys, we have to spend money so that we can get back out there. And again, it's Bochy every other year. You know what happens.
Yes. By the way, we'll have Bruce Bochy on at 3 o'clock, maybe discuss that exact thing. Thank you very much, RJ, for jumping on
with
us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. You can help spread the word for our auctions, 1053thefan.com/peace-a-thon.
I will. Go bid on my golf outing.
I agree.
Keep me number one.
I agree. But also bid on other things
to
take
all your money
down a peg or two.
Pull it together. I'm going to try to get a free beverage card out there just for our group.
Okay.
Of course, anything free for you.
Huh?
Anything free for you.
No, I'll take care of that.
No, I bet you won't.
I'll bring some beer.
You can't the course?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always bring my own alcohol.
Oh, well, they do have lots of alcohol included.
It is frowned upon. Mm-hmm. I won't do it for this event.
Coming up next, check in. We're moving into hour number 6. We will bring on Peyton Russell and talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105 Through the Fan.